Welcome to the Guts Church Podcast. My name is Kennedy Shear, and thanks so much for joining us. Today, we have a great word from my dad, Pastor Bill Shear. If this ministry has changed your life, will you let us know? Send us an email to story@gutschurch.com.
Man, I'm glad you guys are here. I'm just telling you, I am so excited and encouraged about where you're going. And you know, this is a time where I want to say that I'm excited about where the church is going. And I'm telling you, I've hooked my wagon to you, just so you know, all right? And I'll tell you, initially, in starting this church, in grinding, I mean, it's like you just get up and it's like without the skill set needed to do what I do, I just got to hustle. And that's the name of my dog now, you know? And I love getting up in the morning and He goes outside, and when I want him back in, I say, hustle up, and man, he comes back in. I love saying those two words, okay? My heart swells when I hear that, hustle up, because, man, we're going to out-hustle him. The devil's not going to keep us down. He's not going to hold us back. We're going to run this race as one who wins. And you know what? Sometimes there's a little bit of a grind to it, and sometimes there's the part of it where we've got to get over things and we've got to get through things and everything in this message tonight, okay? Everything in this message is going to filter through Philippians 3, 13, and 14. Those two simple verses, okay? Brethren, I don't count myself to have apprehended. See, if you feel like you've arrived, well, you don't, okay? So I'm not even going to say anything sarcastic. Okay, we know we're not there yet. We know we've got some developing to do. We know we've got some discipline that we need to walk in our life. How many of you guys are with me on that? Man, we got some developing we need. That's why you're here tonight. And I'm glad that you're here. And you're here tonight, let me just tell you. And you guys that are watching online, you need to have allies in your life. We got enough enemies. How many of you guys have got some enemies? How many of you guys got some issues? How many got some things you're dealing with? Well, we just need some allies. We need some people that are in there with us, that in a moment's notice, that man, they jump on board. I've got those allies in my life. I've got those guys in my life that it's like, you know what, man, and I'm not going to call somebody and say, man, I'm going through it, and I'm in a battle, and I'm struggling, and I'm, no, you know what, I've got people that if I just text them, and I just contact them, just talking to them, man, the word's going to come out of their mouth. And see, and that's what's interesting about our life. You hear a lot about habits, you know, that it takes 28 days to develop a habit. There's sometimes that habits happen immediately. There's drugs. There's sometimes there's liquor. There's other things that, man, you do it again, you do it six or seven times, it becomes a bad habit. But I'll tell you what, I want to make the habit of my life God's word. I want to get in the word and 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 get in the word. And you'll say, yeah, you're the preacher. No, it what it does is it elevates my life every time I get in it. Our life is going to elevate tonight because we're going to get in the word tonight. You guys agree with that? See, and we have to understand it's got to become the habit of our life. If the habit of your life is talking bad about people, you got to get in the word. If the habit of your life is man, getting depressed or getting down, man, some of you guys woke up and you wake up in the morning depressed. Do you understand that you've got to rewire yourself in God's word? See, our spirit man's born again. Our spirit man's alive unto God. Our brain is subject to what we feed it with. We have gates that come into our brain. It's our eyes, it's our ears, it's our nose, it's our mouth. And you'll say, man, how's your nose a gate for your mind? I'll tell you what, I was born again. I was spirit-filled. I was in Bible school. I walked by an apartment that I couldn't even see what was happening on the inside of it. I went down. I'm minding my own business. I'm innocent. I'm pure as the driven snow. I'm not thinking about sin at all. I walked by this apartment, this whiff of pot hits my head, and I'm like, oh my gosh. And instantly I imagine this octopus bong in there and all these fun people in there getting small, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I felt filthy, yet I hadn't done anything wrong. See, that's the devil. The devil wants to tempt you, and he wants to deceive you into that temptation is wrong and make you feel filthy just from being tempted. Anybody with me on that? Anybody understand what I'm talking about? See, do you understand? Jesus was tempted in like manner as us, yet knew no sin. Wait a minute. I can be tempted and not know sin. Wow. But see, that isn't taught enough. See, what we've decided, and honestly, this is Sandy's idea, that Wednesday night is the second mile. Wednesday night, we're going to take you into the Word. We're going to disciple people. We're going to train people. We're going to teach people. That's what it is tonight. We're going to school here on Wednesday nights. Why do you go to church on Wednesday nights? Don't you go on Sunday? Sure, we go on Sunday. Why do you go on Sunday? Because I love God. Because I love the church. I want to be with people that love God. I want to help people. And I'm telling you, Wednesday night is development night. Wednesday night's the making disciples night. I don't want to leave this up to chance. Why do I want you here on Wednesday nights? I don't want to leave it up to chance. You say, well, you're controlling. Yeah, you know what? I want to present the Word to you in a way where it's digestible, in a way where it's rightly divided. That's what's going to happen tonight. We're going to get into basically two scriptures tonight, 13 and 14 in Philippians 3. Brethren, I don't count myself to have apprehended. I haven't arrived, okay? That's what Paul said. So how could Shear say that if the Apostle Paul, who wrote two-thirds of the New Testament, who comes to God and says, man, the enemy's buffeting me because of my revelation. You know, a lot of the issue of your life, let me just tell you, a lot of the issue of your life is because there's the revelation that's in your life. Man, the enemy's going to come after that revelation, man. He wants you to come down off. What did Nehemiah? They came and they said, man, come down off that wall. He had a sword in one hand and a trowel in the other hand. They said, come down here. We got some weighty matters for you to deal with. He said, why would I come down off this wall? I'm doing a great work for God. Man, stay in your lane. Stay where you're supposed to be. God, man, you're doing a work for God. How many guys are doing? God's doing a work in your life, and you're endeavoring to do a work in your life for God. Can I see your hands? Man, that's where we need to stay. That's where we need to stick. Not that I've apprehended, not that I'm there, not that I'm perfected. He said, but one thing I do. Everybody say one thing. Say one thing I do. Forgetting those things which lie behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Stop. That's it. That's it. Well, but I've been in ministry. Let me tell you, I know a lot of Yehus who's been in ministry. I know a lot of people that have fallen hard, and they've been in ministry for most of their lives. What's behind me is behind me. My past has passed. It's gonzo. What is 1 Corinthians 5:17 says? Say it. What, Chucky? There you go. What 1 Corinthians 5:17 says? Isn't that how we say it? Juan. How about Juan? Juan, you want to stand? Juan's our Hispanic guy. No. We gotta go better than that, man. That's Juan Charles right there. Juan Charles used to be a gangster. Now he's leading the Hispanic church at the Guts Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and doing an incredible job, I might add. Man, changing the world. He's changed my life. Man, that guy is so devoted, so committed, so faithful, so fruitful in his life. He helps me. I'm just telling you. But what does 1 Corinthians 5:17 says? That we become a new creation in Christ. God's not rebuilding you. No, we become a new creation in Christ. Old things of what? Passed away. And all things become what? And it says, behold, all things become new. Man, we got new life. You got new life tonight. Man, I want to whistle. I want to wake you up. Man, you got new life. Man, the devil's been ripping. Man, you can't do it. You're not good enough. Man, you had a third grade teacher that said you got no artistic ability at all. You know what? I want to slap that third grade teacher. Man, what we've got to do is bring your third grade teacher in here. Mine was Miss Seibert. Let me tell you something. The meanest, Miss Seibert. Now listen to this. What is the word? She was mean. She was evil. And I was in the third grade. I did not like her. I could tell you third grade stories. It'd be really funny. We're moving on. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Man, what's in front of you? But you know what? We can't go, well, whatever comes. No, what does it say? We got to reach for it. Everybody say you got to reach for it. Man, we got to reach for it. Man, we got to reach. We got to get after it. Man, it's important what's in front of you. Man, we got to reach for it. He said, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I press toward the goal. Man, there's a prize. The upward call, the elevated, but let me tell you, it's an uphill climb. Our interns right now, today, climbed halfway up Pikes Peak. Tomorrow, they climb to the summit. Man, every intern, we got a few alumni. Pastor Chano Trevino's with them. Every one of those guys. Man, my daughter, Kennedy, God, I thank you right now that they can handle the altitude. God, I thank you that they are hydrated. God, I thank you right now for protection, for safety, and that every single one of those guys go up that mountain. In Jesus' name. And everybody said? Man, be praying for those guys tomorrow. They're going to get into higher altitude. Might be some weather there. And I'm telling you, all of them are bound and determined to make it to the top. Man, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. You know, but I look at it and I learned this. I read a book and it gave me the idea that what if my life was built in 10 areas? There's 10 areas to Bill Shear. There's 10 areas to Pastor Bill Shear, that those areas. And then I look at it, what if I'm not inspecting those areas? What if I'm not grading those areas? See, what we inspect, that's what's going to grow in our life. That's what's going to develop in our life. Man, if you just say, well, I can't get on top of my debt, and you don't inspect it, you won't get on top of it. You'll be right. Okay? But I want to keep the prophetic in my life scriptural. I want to keep what the prognostics of my life, I want to make them God's promise. Anybody with me on that? Man, we could diagnose all that stuff, but let me tell you that. But what we inspect, man, that we apply God's word, His promise to what we're inspecting. Man, this is really good. This is something that's practical, something that's soft tossed to you tonight. You could catch it, you could tuck it, and you could go score with it. Okay, turn to somebody and say, "Hey, go score." Let's say our lives are split into 10 areas. Give yourself a grade of each one of these. And you can do this. You guys that are taking notes, you can do it real time. Okay, 10 areas. Number one, you love God, meaning that He's first in my life. Is God first in your life? If you have worry in your life, you're not putting God first. I'm just saying. Jesus said, all you who are weak and heavy laden, come unto me, I'll give you rest. But what do we get? What does He say? Come unto me, put me first in your life. Make me number one in your life. So number one, you got to love God. What's your grade on that? Oh, I love Him. I love Him a lot. Are you worrying? Yeah, I am a little bit. Okay, you're probably an 8 or 7. Well, I worry a lot. I'm really consumed with fear. Well, you might be, loving God might be a 5. Number two, you honor people. And you know what? That's simply, it's not about me. Well, I didn't get invited. They didn't ask me to sing a song. I haven't had lunch with the other people I hear. Man, he's got to go to lunch with some people. He hasn't been to lunch with me. It's not about me. It's not about me. You know why? Because I honor people. See, I'm believing God that you get what you need. But listen. I'm not believing me that you get what you need. Does that make sense? Probably doesn't. Makes sense to me. We love God, we honor people, and it's not, hey, what about me? When am I going to get mine? No. Man, I get mine by believing God and serving people, loving people. Number three, how healthy are you? Well, how you eat, how you sleep, how you recreate, how are your hobbies? I'll tell you, I haven't been real. I probably, you know, in pastoring this church, no one said to me, "Man, how are your hobbies?" You know, there'd be people that say, "Man," Oral Roberts said, "Do you belong to anywhere where you play golf?" I said, no. He said, you need to join something. He said, number one, all the money that this didn't come out of the church, this came off the golf course. And he's pointing at everything at ORU. But we also talked about recreating. I'm thinking, well, it's 3 or 4 hours. I can't give 3 or 4 hours. It's like, wait a minute. That doesn't make any sense. But for you, it may be bicycling. It may be walking. It may be me climbing mountains. You guys watching from Colorado Springs. It may be horseback riding. I don't want to ride a horse. I do not want to. I'm so thankful for Henry Ford. But you know what? How we do those things, man, are we healthy? And how's your blood pressure? How's your heart rate? All that stuff? Man, are you drinking enough water? Man, water's king. I'm just telling you. Man, have you guys had a kidney stone? Drink water. Water, water, water. And I went to a specialist and I had a couple kidney stones. And one time I had to preach with a kidney stone. And y'all laughed, okay? I'm not over that yet, but I'm dripping off the sweat's dripping off my nose. And finally I said, okay, I feel awkward sweating in front of you here. No one else is sweating. I'm sweating. I'm passing a kidney stone. Oh! I'm like, oh, okay. It's on now. I got like a dagger in my lower back right here, and people are laughing. But I just asked him, I said, what about this? What about this? What about this? He said, none of that scientific. I said, what do? He said, drink water. Okay, I'm going to drink water until the cows come home because I don't want to go back there. But it's all about being healthy. Man, it's all about being healthy. It's all about staying healthy. Number four, strong relationships. I mean, you can monitor your marriage every day, but is your marriage strong? I'll tell you what, I've got a strong marriage. We have been through a lot, and we're still standing. She still loves me. She told me, what'd you tell him? You'd say I was precious or something? What'd you say? What was the word you used? I don't think it was precious. In my heart, I was precious. She said, you're amazing. She said something. She said, but you're awkward. I'll take awkward. I'll take awkward all day. Sean, we understand awkward, don't we? You better believe it. Sorry I woke you up there, son. But we have to have strong relationships. Man, I've got guys, it's like, there's guys that, yeah, we have fun, we but I'm just telling you, it's strong that word is pivotal. Your marriage, build a strong marriage. Man, you're gonna have an ebb and flow on everything, but it's just gotta be strong. Because you gotta get through that ebb to get to that flow. Number five, cash, money. How's your money? Do you spend more than you make? Are you saving money? Are you a tither? Listen, whatever reason you're giving for not tithing, please understand it is a vital key to living an amazing life. I don't know people that tithe that don't live an amazing life. I don't. The windows of heaven are open above your life. God rebukes the devourer from the midst of you. Your fruit won't fall immature from the vine. You'll be called a delightful land. Count me in. That is the deal of the century. I'm just telling you. But your money, man, are you everything you buy, you ask why. Every expenditure you make. Why? Why? Every snack that you have, you bump back up to healthy. Why? And I'm just telling you, I mean, greatest thing ever created was Oreos. I get it. I can eat a whole packet. I can eat as many as there are. You give me. You like the Oreo too, Tyler? Okay. We're relating right now. We're connecting. Number six, are you honest? Are you humble? Are you honest with yourself? Is there a humility that operates in your life? That goes back to honoring people. If you're humble, you're going to honor people. If you're honest, you're going to honor people. You're going to love God. You're going to honor people. It's interesting because they came to Martin Luther and they said, will you teach us about the gifts of the Spirit? Not Martin Luther King, Martin Luther. Will you teach us about the gifts of the Spirit? And And he said, what? He said, we want to understand and operate in the gifts of the Spirit. He said, how about if we start with heathen honesty first? And then he went through some things about it. But honesty is huge in a marriage. I'm just telling you, all Sandy wants me to be is honest. All she wants me to be is humble. That's it. If I'm honest and I'm humble, let me just tell you, man, the faithful part of it, I don't want to leave her out of anything. She doesn't want to be left out of anything. I mean, my goodness, it's this idea, this, how honest are you? Are you honest with yourself? Let me tell you, I get it. You could be happy for a little while living in denial. See, these are just 10 things I wrote, okay? You could have your own 10 things. Number 7 is, are you confident? How confident are you? Man, my kids are confident people. My daughter, Kennedy, she'll say things that she wants to do or say things that, and I'm like, huh, that's pretty confident. Oh my gosh. I don't have to see it. She does. I have to see it about me. And let me just tell you, confidence is huge. Otherwise, because I'll tell you what, a lot of ministry doesn't happen because people don't have confidence. A lot of ministry feels too risky, or he's not going to listen to me. I'll just tell you, you know what's funny is, I believe it's God's will that none should perish. That's what Peter wrote, that none should perish. Remember bin Laden? It's like, we're going to get bin Laden. We're going to find bin Laden. We're going to kill bin Laden. It's like, yeah, I get all that. I'd like to preach to him first. Give me 15 minutes. I can win him to Jesus. I said that one time in a meeting, and these guys looked at me like, are you crazy? Maybe, but I'm also confident. Man, I thought about this after I'd been a Christian for like 6 or 8 months, and I've never lost this. There's nobody I can't win to the Lord. I'd say that to people because I'm out on the street. I'm praying with people. I'm ministering to people. I almost said preaching. I didn't know any of the word to preach during that time. All I knew is you got to get people to confess Jesus because the Bible says no man can call Jesus Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Man, you know what? They say Jesus, the door of their heart opens up. Boom, the Holy Spirit gets in there. That's all I want to do. I want to get the power of God. I want to get the grace of God operative in people's lives. And I've got to be confident about that. If I wasn't confident about that now, someone's getting their life right with God tonight. I'm confident of that. Anybody with me on that? Well, that's how we have to be. That's how we've got to be in season and out of season and every day. So how is your confidence? If your confidence, let me just tell you, you got to be around confident people for you to be confident. And if we're confident in the Lord, try me. You want some of this? You want a piece of this? Because I'm confident in the Lord. See, that happens. Man, the devil tries to put something on your kid. Devil tries to put a wedge between you and your spouse. Devil tries to keep you from your destiny. Keep you from the will of God in your life. God's purpose. Heck no. You kidding me? Man, I pray for my children every day. Two of them, I pray one thing, and the third one, I pray two things, that she marries the right person and fulfills the purpose of her life. That's it. What color car they drive, where they live, none of that stuff matters to me. What matters to me is they fulfill God's purpose. Two of them married the right person. Hey, Cass. Hey, Press. But fulfilling God's purpose, fulfilling God's purpose, fulfilling God's purpose. Man, are they going to skin their knees up? Sure they are. Man, that doesn't matter to me that they get back up and they pursue God's purpose. That's what matters to me. You guys hearing me tonight? Number 8, faithful, fruitful. And this is probably should be higher on the list. This is not in, I had to make 10 because I said, I thought of 10, so I made 10. Maybe there's 12 in yours. Maybe there's 15 in yours. Maybe there's 12 in mine. But for the purpose of this message, I made a list of 10. You got to be faithful. You got to be fruitful. You got to regularly check the fruit of your life. Man, I'm telling you, our fruit gets a little rotten around our lives. I'm telling you, Sandy and I sit down, and what comes out of her mouth is she'll say, is there a door open? Have we left a door open? Is there a door open in your life? Is there a door open in my life? Is there a door open in our home? Have we left a door? Isn't that right, Scott? Man, for the enemy to get into my life, I've got to open a door for him. He cannot get in. You know what his pattern is? His pattern is to stalk me and walk around me and walk around seeking whom he may devour. How can he devour me? I got to flip a door open for him. I got to crack a window open for him. No, the doors of my life to the enemy are shut and locked and sealed. Listen, by the Holy Spirit. And see, and that's how we operate our lives. So we've got to be faithful and we got to be fruitful. Paul said this. He said, check yourself daily that you're in faith. Examine yourself daily. How do you check if you're in faith? You're in the Word. You can't find out what's in your heart. You don't know what's in your heart. I can suspect it. I can assume it. I can find out when the fruit comes out. I can't see into your heart. I can't see into my heart. So you know what I've got to do? I've got to put God's word in my heart so that it works in my life. Because the enemy's going to try to sow tares into my heart. You know what that is? It's fiery darts. He gives me a thought. You know what? The devil can't read your mind. He could just know that he's thrown a thought at you that you haven't rejected. And with that thought, there might be a demonic activity with it. Man, that third grade teacher that said you would never be artistic. Man, that diagnosis that you had as a kid. Man, they're like, well, he's dyslexic or he's manic or he's always. Let me tell you, you may have portrayed the symptoms of that, but that is not who you are. And understand that. And you've got to look at it. You've got to check yourself daily that you're in faith. Every day. And you know what? Man, you look at it, you think, okay, how many of you guys are wondering how you do that? I'm going to give you a practical reason. If one person here needs to know how you do that, I'll give you the answer. But if you don't need to know, we'll move on. Does anybody here need to know how you check to see if you're in faith? Okay, here's how you do it. Are you worrying about anything? Are you fretting about anything? Are you negative about anything? Now listen, are you concerned? Do you, man, I've got a concern. I there's times where it's like, you know what? I have valid concerns through the years of their life. I have valid concerns about my children. I have concerns about the church. I have concerns about you. I have concerns about your families. What do I do with that? If I let that just hang, man, that'll start to swell up in my heart, and I'll be consumed with it. It'll lock me up. But when that concern hits, you know what? It's just like when offense hits my life. It's when unforgiveness hits my life. I've got to deal with it immediately. Man, it bores holes in my soul. I don't want it to. Man, that drill bit of unforgiveness, that drill bit of fear, that drill bit of stress, that drill bit of strife, man, that drill bit hits my heart. I've got to reject it. I've got to replace it with the word, with God's promise, or it'll just start boring a hole through my heart. I'm not a doctor, but I don't think you want a hole in your heart. Your natural hole, do you, doc? You're like a cardiologist. You don't want a pierce in your heart. Well, you think about your heart that's connected with your soul and your spirit. See, that the combination of your soul and your spirit is your heart. That's why now I give my heart to God. My spirit is born again. My mind needs to be renewed. My soul needs to be renewed. If I'm not renewing my soul, I can't be in faith. You've heard all this stuff before. This is refreshing, though. That's what I appreciate what Molly said, just a refresher of this. Man, Brad's probably preached this a dozen times, but now it refreshes that. Man, I got to guard my heart with all diligence. I got to guard what comes in my mind, and I've got to guard my spirit, man. How do you guard your spirit, man? You fill your spirit up, man, up with God's word. And God's word has to go through your soul, your mind. So as the word goes through your mind, guess what? It washes your mind. It recreates your thought life. It rewires how you think. See, so what does that do? It produces faithfulness. And what's synonymous with faithfulness? Fruitfulness. Are you faithful? Then you're going to bear good fruit, and that fruit will remain. And you'll be a bearer of fruit every day of your life. Bushel baskets of fruit every single day. Why? Because you're faithful. If you're not fruitful, examine yourself that you're in faith. Wow, I'm a good person. I quit cussing. I don't go to bad movies. None of that stuff matters. What matters is, are you putting God's word into play in your life? It starts with filling up your inner man with God's word. Number 9, responsible. Not blaming others. I do what I say and I do what I set out to do. Man, we had a capital campaign. We set a goal of $3 million, and $2 million came in, and I'm appreciative of that. And we're putting all that money to these projects. But you know what? In my heart, I'm not released with that. We set a goal. I got up here and said, we're going to raise $3 million. So I'll tell you what, we're going to complete those projects. And you know what? If it costs $3 million or not, we're going to raise that other $1 million. I don't know how. I don't care how. But I'm believing God for it. I'm praying, I'm believing God for another $1 million to come in. You'll think, oh my gosh, that's got two commas. Do you understand? In the big scheme of things, that's 2 months of operating capital in the church. It's less than that. See, we deal with millions here in this church. We gave away almost $2.5 million last year to outreach and missions and helping the poor. Millions don't mean anything to us. We're guts. Our daddy owns cattle on 1,000 hills. Man, we've got to be people who do what we say we're going to do and what we set out to do. There's things that I've set out to do that I've only told Sandy or that I've not ever told anybody. I'm going to do those things. My life will not end until those things are accomplished and those things happen. Why? Because I've set out to do them. I'm taking responsibility. I'm not blaming anybody. I'm not blaming the economy. I'm not blaming who's in office. I'm not blaming how the church is trending. And I'll tell you why. You know what? You know why? Because what I bought into in my life is God will back my play. You want me to prove that by the word? Everything you put your hand to will prosper. Delight yourself in the Lord. He'll give you the desires of your heart. You need more than that? You say to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea. Nothing will be impossible to you. And you'll have what you say. I just kind of got a little convicted. Maybe there's some things I've set out to do in my life that I've not ever told anybody. It needs to come out of my mouth. Maybe I need to speak it. You see, that's how this works. But we take responsibility. Grade yourself in being responsible. Man, if you're getting a letter, the electric company's going to turn off your electricity, you got to take responsibility for that. You got to pay it before you get that letter. You got to be diligent with it. You're a Christian. We don't want somebody else paying our bills. Well, but I don't think it's fair. I got to pay all these taxes. Fair or not, you pay them. Why? Because you render under Caesar what Caesar's. Was it fair for Jewish people? Was it fair the taxes that Rome was taxing them? No. What did Jesus tell them? Render to Caesar what Caesar's. Well, I don't like our president. You don't have to like him. You have to obey the laws of the land, and you have to honor those that are in authority over you. That verse isn't convenient. Oh, really? The other half of the country that in previous presidents, they got to like it because you like that guy, you don't like this guy, or you like that other guy, you don't like her? You don't get to pick that. God resolves you of having to take that pressure on. Because I'll tell you what, no matter who's in power, the heart of the king is in the hand of God. Woo! I don't get in those debates. We only hear what they want us to hear anyway. We hear sound bites and then we make opinions. Oh, that's terrible. It's like, you know about 0.5% of it. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we're serving Jesus. And the 10th one is you got to be friendly. And you know what that is? And I'm not talking about friendly where you're fake, or you got to be kind. You got to be gracious. You got to be thankful. That's friendly. I'm convicted right now even saying that. Sandy and I had the privilege of going out to eat with Scott and Vanessa for his birthday. He's like 60,000 years old. I don't know what he... But the hostess at the restaurant was just a poop. She was just... Didn't I? I walked up to her and I said, four, please. Can we have a booth? No. Those booths are spoken for. I'm like, okay, please don't put me in a spoken for booth. Don't do that. Dear God in heaven, you little. But. That's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking another B word too. And I'm walking like this and Sandy said, Bill, why you gotta be like that? I said, she started it. I just asked a simple question, just like this. I walked up and I said, I'd like a booth, please. Huh, you don't get a booth? I'm like, no, you know who I am? I'll dial up the owner of this restaurant. How about that? You were looking for a job when you found this one. How about that, huh? No, I got to be friendly. You know why? The piercing scripture for me when I get like that is Jesus was a friend to sinners. Shoot. He was friendly to ugly people, dirty, crummy people. I got to be friendly. All right, I'll grade myself. I guess I'm a 9 in that because I thought for sure I was a 10, but I guess I'm just a 9. Grade yourself in every area. I've had it with you guys tonight. God, I thank you for your hand on every life in this room. God, that there are practical things that we heard. God, if we just begin to grade a couple areas in our life and we get better, it's going to help every area of our life get better. God, give people just the realization, the allies that they have in this room, to get them back here more often and more consistently and more passionately, that we'll be allies for each other. God, I thank you for that. God, I thank you for the love in this church. God, the greatest forgivers on the planet are right here. If you're here tonight and your life's not right with God for whatever reason, anybody else, just put your hand up. Just say, man, I just need to get my life right with God tonight. Anybody else? Man, don't get stuck where you are. Man, let's elevate. Is there anybody else? Just raise your hand if you need to get your life right with God. Just raise your hand. God bless you, sir. Anybody else? Just raise your hand. Come on. Thank you. Tom and Teresa, can you guys help that couple that are right back there in the risers? Travis, can you help that good-looking guy in the red shirt, three rows behind you? Four rows. Is there anybody else? Just raise your hand. Just lead them to the Lord, y'all. Just pray with them, minister to them. Make sure you introduce yourself to them. You're looking for them the next time they come in here. Man, will you guys, can I just pastor the house for a minute? When you see people get saved, it's a big deal. And every one of them I see is I'll try to get to the exit door. I'll tell them how proud I am. It's a big deal, man. For him to raise his hand, that's, and there's an exposure, that there's a vulnerability that hits you. You know, we offer up ministry at the end of every service on each side of the stage, and people, I don't want to walk up there in front of everybody. People know I've got an issue. Hey, can I tell you? How many of you guys can fog a mirror? You have an issue. Okay, there should be lines. Shouldn't there, Barb? There should be lines with every praying minister up here at every service. You should take that opportunity to pray with people. Don't let your pride and don't let your insecurity win. Man, some of you guys had a third grade teacher who said you'd never be artistic, and it's bugged you all your life. Let one of these guys pray with you. You don't know what that stifled in your life, those words. I don't want anything in my life holding me back. Do you, Sandy? Man, I want all of God I can get every single day in every way. Man, don't leave here with any baggage. Man, don't leave here at all with any of that, because there's mental blocks that we have that keep us, it keeps our winning minimum. How many of you guys feel like sometimes you win, but it's not real, you don't win the big ones? It's all just little. How many guys, your winning's minimal. Can I see your hands? Man, just minimal living, okay? There's two things. And you could take a picture of it, or you could write it down. One is the false assumptions that you have that are either self-inflicted, or sometimes there's really physical barricades that are in your life that you can't get through them, okay? But it's those false assumptions that it's like, I can't make it. I don't ever get picked. And man, I don't have that kind of favor operative in my life. That's just, you know better now. Man, false assumptions. Those are bags that it's not, it's like you're allowed to have luggage in life, but you're not allowed to carry baggage. Man, I'll tell you, all the airlines, they don't treat my bags, they don't treat my as luggage. They treat it as baggage. So I'll buy baggage, and they're taking sledgehammers to it or something. My bags have got four rollers, and I walk like this to the airport. Now I've got to drag it. It goes thump 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 because I've got three wheels now. Because someone had somehow twisted a wheel off. Because they're carrying it like baggage. That's not my life. That isn't baggage. It's luggage. Luggage carries my stuff that I value. Man, the four-minute mile. Everybody said you can't run a four-minute mile. Till in the 60s, Roger Bannister ran a four-minute mile. Now, high school kids do it. Why? Because one person, that false assumption, man, the false assumption, you can't double your business in a year. Why not? But we're going to grow this church 10% by the middle of September, period. Every area is going to grow 10%. Why? Because I'm believing God for that. Man, I'm setting a goal for that. I'm not going to let the baggage, I'm not going to let false assumptions keep us from doing that. Why do you want to do that? I want to reach more people. I want to help more people. Well, what about me? No, you already learned what about you doesn't work. Remember? We're here to win the world to Jesus, right? And most of you are in. I know three people that are in now. Travis, is he in? Yeah, he's one. He's off the agenda. He's in. Someone needs to talk. What's your name, sir? Someone needs to talk to him and say, hey, you want to be on my team? Hey, you want to be in my cool club? Look at this guy up here. Who would not want to be in his club? Number two is past experiences. I've had some bad ones. I've had some bad church experiences, and I've still given my life to the local church. I will never pull out of the local church, ever. What did Paul say? What did Paul say in verse 13? Forgetting those things which are behind. Man, those perceived limits because of past experiences. You know what's interesting? I heard this statistic, and it's probably true because I don't do this. I maybe used to, but New Year's resolutions, 80% of millennials make New Year's resolutions. 30% of people that are 65 and older make New Year's resolutions because they've got so much more experience and they've had bad experience, and why would I even try? Why would I even try to change anything for the better? And I'm not saying you should make them or not make them. I'm not even sure I believe in the whole concept of resolutions, but I do believe in the concept of getting better and getting healthy. And I had 2 points, but a bonus point is we have to set meaningful, challenging, realistic goals. And I don't know what the percentage of people in here that have goals are, but I'm telling you, you have to. I set a goal in the middle of September. We're gonna grow the church. Man, I'm looking at the numbers. It's gonna be 10% higher by the middle of September. And you'll say, well, how are you gonna do that? I'm gonna force my will on it. So much of life, you go back to confidence, so much of life, you have to impose your will. That's a Roger Walsh life code, isn't it? I'm going to impose my will upon this. My finances, I impose my will upon it. Raising my kids, I impose my will upon it. Pastoring the church, I impose my will upon it. Are you going to win? Absolutely. Why? Because you got all these allies here. How many winners do we have in here? Can I see your hands? No, really, you're legit. You're winners. Well, you're in the right place then. Man, hey, Pastor, can you pray for me? Hey, Pastor, can you? I'm going to impose God's will on you. Well, if it be thy will, God touch his body. You ever hear that prayed, run. Because we know it's God's will. I know it's God's will that I lay hands on the sick, and what happens? They recover. It's not up to chance. Why? It's the will of God. Everything you put your hand to prospers right there. And I'm in agreement with you in the name of Jesus. He factors in. Yeah, sure he does. He's got to fight it for it not to happen. Right, Trav? Travis, are you blessed? Is tomorrow going to be blessed? Is July going to be blessed? Are we going to grow 10% by the middle of September? Yeah, because why? Because we impose our will upon that.